Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Sam, and I am the Assistant Minister here at St Patrick's Church, and it is a real pleasure of mine to be able to share with you today. I do hope that Christmas has brought you joy and laughter despite the restrictions, but also I hope that in recent weeks, and I pray that this is true, you have had an opportunity to celebrate the coming of the King. King Jesus, born in Bethlehem through the line of his ancestor, King David, he would rule over Israel, not like any earthly king, but instead his status was hidden, his actions were for others, and through the weakness of his death, his kingdom was established. Jesus is a king like no other. He is worth following. In our passage today, we see two very different kings. We see the king of this world, King Herod, and we see the king of heaven, King Jesus. And we're going to compare these two kings. We're going to compare their status, their actions, and their death. At Christmas, one of the things that we love to do is watch films. I certainly do. And the TV is full of them. Netflix, Disney Plus, and Amazon Prime, they all release films this time of year because they know that watching films at Christmas is just what people do. And when I was thinking about our passage today, I actually think there are many films that could have provided a good title for our passage and for this talk. For example, The Great Escape kind of speaks for itself, or The Grinch, where there is an angry neighbour. Or Lord of the Rings, The Twin Towers, two great powers in battle. Or The Crown, the Netflix series, where royalty, wealth, and privilege is shown to have a dark side. All of these films have two or more great powers coming up against each other, and there's a fight for survival, a struggle for power, and an eventual winner. And to be honest, our passage isn't too dissimilar. So let's take a look at the first of our three headings, status. What is the status of the two kings? Well, Herod, the king of this world, was an earthly king, and he had power to rule in his region. He would have owned a palace and had many possessions, and he would have had servants and subjects under his rule. By contrast, Jesus, the king of heaven, was poor and oppressed. And in our passage, we see him as a refugee, with no significant status. King Herod, he epitomizes Israel's failure of kingship, and it highlights just how much God's people needed a new king, a better king. King Herod, he was compromised ethically, and we see in our passage, he murders children. But also, King Herod was compromised spiritually, as he had gained his power through reliance on his relationship with Roman authorities and not with reliance on his relationship with God. Do you see that? King Herod relied on his relationship with earthly powers, not on heavenly powers. Herod is corrupt both ethically and spiritually, and yet he holds a position of great earthly power. But it is his power and wealth that are his downfall. The truth is that worldly greatness and riches are actually perilous possessions for the soul. Herod, although wealthy and powerful, and he's known as great, was in fact empty. His soul was void of any meaningful wealth. One of the things that we see in our passage today is that wealth and power, status, so to say, can actually lead you to miss the true meaning of Christmas. That's exactly what we see in King Herod. He is blinded by his status and his desire to remain in power, so much so that he misses the true majesty that was the birth of the Saviour. This is a Christmas warning. And it leads me to ask the reflective question, what status or what possessions do we have that we hold on to that keep us from seeing the true meaning of Christmas? Perhaps it's a present that only serves to distract us from Jesus. Or maybe it is that idea of the family gathering that we so long for has made us miss the true meaning of Christmas. Perhaps this year it's been a blessing in disguise that we haven't had family gatherings, and instead we've seen the true meaning of Christmas. Let's consider Jesus' status at his birth. I find it striking that Jesus could have been born into any social status, but God chose the status of a poor, threatened refugee. God chose to associate Jesus, the King of Heaven, with the poor. He looked upon our world full of kings with status and possessions and wealth, and he thought, I'll show you what kind of status really matters. Not earthly status. This means nothing to the Lord, because he knows just how amazing the riches of heaven are. Instead, God chose to use the things that in our world might be considered weak. He chose to use those things to demonstrate his glory and, in fact, the riches of heaven. In the New Testament, Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes in 1 Corinthians, God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. The point is that our society worships power, influence and wealth. And Jesus' birth is a direct challenge to worldly status. Jesus came as a humble, poor servant, and he offers his kingdom with all of its riches to those of any status who have faith in him and trust him. Jesus is a king like no other. He is worth following. So what about the actions of our two kings? Well, we see Herod, the king of this world, grasping onto power as he plans to murder children. He's also paranoid as he's outwitted by the Magi. By contrast, Jesus, the King of Heaven, is vulnerable and weak. He's on the run and must escape. When threatened, Herod's actions are to kill all the boys under the age of two. And we read this in verse 16. This is a truly awful act of terror, and it's rooted in a rotten soul. But there is at least some comfort in knowing that God remains sovereign and in control, even when bad people do bad things. And we know this is true by the fact that even in this awful moment, prophecy is being fulfilled, verse 18. Herod's actions are ruthless as he seeks only to serve himself. As we read about his actions, actually they can bring us much distress, and they cause us to question, why would God let this happen? But this horrific act from this corrupt king actually helps us to see how good the alternative king is. Helps us to see how good King Jesus is. Herod only saw weakness in small children and that they were expendable. But King Jesus, during his ministry, placed huge value on children. And he said that we must become like children if we wish to enter his kingdom. Jesus is the good king. But what about Jesus' actions in our passage? Well, Jesus is just a baby in our passage, and many of his actions are actually dictated by Mary and Joseph. But what we see is that their actions are to withdraw, to escape. In fact, in chapter 2 of Matthew's gospel, in verses 12, 13 and 14, it all speaks of escaping from Herod. And they all use this same Greek word, anechario. And it's used to convey the notion of withdrawing from danger. And it's actually used elsewhere in Matthew's gospel. And two examples would be, it's that it's used when Jesus hears that John has been imprisoned and that it's no longer safe for him to remain in Judea, and so he withdraws to Galilee. And then it's used when the Pharisees take action to kill Jesus, and so Jesus withdraws from the district. So my point is, there's a common theme through the gospel and through Jesus' ministry, and that he wasn't looking to pick a fight with human authorities. Examples there of him withdrawing. He wasn't looking to pick a fight with human authorities. Instead, he's far more concerned about fighting spiritual battles and the battle for people's hearts. Even in his death, Jesus didn't put up a fight, but he won the spiritual battle. Jesus is a king like no other. He is worth following. So let's think more about that third point of comparison, death. Herod, the king of this world, he murdered many children. He was a criminal. He was a terrible man. But at his death, his kingdom was split into three. We read in our passage that one of his sons took over. His kingdom kind of began to vanish. By contrast, Jesus, the King of Heaven, he escaped the plot of Herod in order that he might die at the right time. At Jesus' death on the cross, his kingdom was being established forever. King Herod, he stained his hands with blood when he killed innocent children, but he did not manage to harm Jesus. And as we see in our passage, eventually, Herod dies. Isn't that just striking? Death can remove kings of this world just like ordinary people. No matter what status or actions you take, you have no power to hold on to when it comes to death. Death is a mighty leveler. And death is also what sets Jesus apart like no other king in history. His death was not the end. And because of his death, because of Jesus' death, it need not be our end either. When we are his subjects, when we are his followers, Jesus' death has made a way for us to have eternal life. Jesus is a king like no other. He is worth following. So as I begin to finish, let's pause for a moment and think about Jesus the King. But let's think about 2020, the year that we've had. Well, 2020 showed us that your status can't save you. Whether you are rich or poor, this year you have been affected by the pandemic. In many ways, 2020 has been the year of action as well. The elections in the US, climate protests at the beginning of the year, Black Lives Matter protests, and then social distancing. We've all changed our actions this year. How about death? Well, 2020, in many ways, has been the year of death. COVID, the loss of family members, the loss of friends. Well, what does Jesus the King show us as we reflect on 2020? I think he shows us that earthly status actually means nothing in God's kingdom. In fact, on earth, we've discovered that it also can't help you when certain things happen. But certainly, Jesus shows us that earthly status means nothing in God's kingdom. He cares far more about treasures in heaven than earthly wealth. Jesus has also shown us that if you're going to take action, then fight spiritual battles and be willing to be weak. God's power works through weakness. And then lastly, death. One day you will die. I will die. And Jesus' death made a way for eternal life in his kingdom, but only when we become his subjects, when we follow him. So which king will you follow? As I finish, we see in our passage this contrast between the two kingdoms and the two kings, the king of this world and the king of heaven. Their status, actions and death are very different. Jesus is a king like no other. He really is worth following.